Yeah, pray for me. Verse 2. Yeah, see, my wife's gone. I'm all out of sorts. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Of course, we know that Paul was not Timothy's dad. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Paul apparently knew this family well and had time to observe Timothy's grandmother, Timothy's mother. It's interesting that there's no mention of these, of their father. But the impact that the life that a grandmother had and that a mother had on a young lad growing up, whom the call of God would come to and have such a bond and a relationship with the Apostle Paul. It's amazing the things that transfer from one generation to the next generation. The moment one individual says, "Yes, Lord, I will," and they bow their knee or they call out in prayer and they make some kind of affirming step away from a life of their own choosing, in response to the call of God to begin to walk in a life of his choosing and his calling upon every individual. It's amazing the things that will immediately be set in place or set in motion for the next generation. Did you know that your choices and your decisions had that much bearing? I listen to the stories of my grandmother Reisman from time to time and the old Brush Harbor meetings and tent revivals and things like that that they had and her involvements in Oklahoma. And then I hear of my mother receiving the Holy Ghost as a 16-year-old out in White Swan at an Assembly of God church. And how through the years, you know, it was those two women. First, my grandmother who bought us all Bibles and was always praying for us. And then my mother who, in her second marriage and in the struggles and the difficulties that the family was going through, sought out a place to go and took us and gave us opportunity to hear the Word of God that would have an ultimate impact upon all of our lives. Scripture says we enter into other men's labors. It speaks of a transference from generation to generation. In other words, I'm not here of my own accord. Yes, I had to respond. Yes, I had to say, "Yes, Lord." But I've got to look back with thankfulness to the previous generations at the choices they made that would not just impact my life, but also my children's lives, and now their children, my children's children's lives. In one place in Scripture, the Bible spoke of, in a contrasting scenario, that he would visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation. We also know that there is a transfer of multiplied blessing unto the third and fourth. This is why he would say that the promise is unto you who are hearing my words right now, and to your children and to your children's children. We're never in this alone. You can't separate yourself out and say, well, you know, I am me and this is what I do and that's my kids and that's what they do. And no. There is a connection between you. Amen. Thank God for mothers, grandmothers, great grandmothers who said, yes, Lord. Who said, yes, Lord. Amen. Brother Johnson.
I realized today that, and I've recognized the last few years, I don't know if it's that the Lord gives us understanding or if it's just age. It's probably a little bit of both. But I, you know, everyone goes through, I think there's different stages in kids' lives. I look at the stage of Parker right now where he's 110% dependable on us as parents. And I watch Hadley, who is kind of at an age at 4 or 5 years old, where she's starting to exit that dependent stage in her mind. She can put her own clothes on. She can get water out of the refrigerator on her own. She can even find a snack on her own. And she will remind you when you go to fill her water cup for you that she has the ability to do it herself. And so she's starting this transition that, as we know, as you get further into your teen years, you know, by the time you're a teenager, you don't need mom and dad. They're of no value to you anymore unless you need money. Dad, I'm going to the mall. I need $20. Mom, I need $50. Well, why don't you go to the store with me and go grocery shopping? No, I'm busy. I just need $20 so I can go to McDonald's. Buy off the dollar menu. But then as you get older and parents are like, what did I do wrong? My kids don't even want it. And then as you get older, you find yourself wanting to be back around mom and dad. I don't know what that process is. There are many times where I just enjoy hanging out, just talking in the living room and chatting. And you find yourself maybe as much as you don't identify with your parents who are 30, 40 years older than you find yourself slowly starting to identify with them, especially once you have kids. You're like, these people are really cool. What have I been missing the last 20 years? Why do I wait so long to come back and engage with them? And now that I'm in my mid-30s, I'm starting to look back and realize that the blessings of God that are upon my life are the result of the faithfulness of my parents. They are the result of the faithfulness of Kaylee's parents. And we have carried on in their stead the faithfulness that was imparted to us, like Paul talked about Timothy's faith. He said, this dwells in you also. It was in your grandmother. It was in your mother. They imparted it to you. This faith that he talked about with Timothy was something that Timothy witnessed. Grandma didn't say, oh, here you go. Here, mom, here's faith. And then mom goes, oh, Here, Timothy, here's faith. No. He witnessed it by their lifestyles. They lived a lifestyle of faith. He witnessed, his mother witnessed it in his grandmother, he witnessed it in his own mother. And Paul is now, through Timothy's life and ministry, saying, when I see the faith, the unfeigned faith that dwells in you. He says it twice. He said it in the beginning of the verse, and then he said it again at the end of the verse. I'm convinced it's in you too. How did it get there? It was passed from generation to generation as others witnessed. And so the older I get, I look back and I begin to realize that I'm experiencing. It's already been mentioned that we enter into another man's labors, but I'm experiencing, I'm a candidate of, I'm a recipient of the faithfulness of generations gone before me. Time doesn't allow me today to tell you of all the stories of faithfulness in my parents' lives. I remember as a kid different situations and different circumstances, and I remember my parents always raised me that the kingdom of God came first in time and in finances, to the point where sometimes we did without things because my dad was the pastor and the church payment was due and dad had $200 in his checking account and the church payment was $100 short that month. So he'd take the $100 out of his checking account, put it into the church and make sure the church payment was made. Was that right or wrong? I don't know. But I witnessed that faithfulness as a child, as a young teenager. And I said, you know what? There's something to this kingdom first mentality. And I've watched time and time again the Lord take care of my parents. You know, you look at, I've looked back over time, and now that my parents are starting to get older, my dad turned 60 years old this year, I'm starting to have conversations with my sister like, how are we going to take care of our parents? Because my parents have given everything to the kingdom, and so they don't have a big IRA, 401k. They don't have those big things set aside because everything they've had has gone to the kingdom. And so I'm having conversations with my sisters now. We're recipients. We all have good jobs, and God's taking care of us because of our parents' faithfulness and our continuance in that faithfulness. And so as the point's coming, the day's coming when we're going to have to take care of them. And God will honor that too. But I'm watching. They live in a house that someone gave them. That house is for sale right now, and they're gonna pay a small fee to that guy who gave them that house, and the rest of it's going to be theirs, and they're going to move on and buy another house. That's the result of God's faithfulness. I'm not talking about a cracker box. I'm talking about a $350,000 view home on the side of the hill in West Valley. Handed them the keys and told them to move in and let them live in it for $800 a month. That's the result of the faithfulness of God, and I am living in the results of that faithfulness. It flows over. And I have a responsibility to maintain that and continue that so that it doesn't stop at my generation. I want Hadley and Parker and my future children to live in the same overflow. I'm telling you, folks, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. The very fact that I'm here and I've got this coat on and these pants on and these shoes on is a blessing from God. Just drive down the street and look at people who their clothes are a wreck and a mess and they're pushing a grocery cart with everything they own in it. I am blessed today. All of us, most all of us, arrived here in some sort of a vehicle. You are blessed today. Don't let that blessing stop at your generation, but let it continue on to your children and your children's children. Don't stop it. Don't curse it. I was reminded yesterday in the Old Testament as I began to read through those commandments by God. And over and over and over again, God told them, here's what I want you to do. Bring me the first fruit of your wheat. Bring me the first fruit of your corn. Bring me the first fruit of your cattle. Bring me the first fruit of this and bring me the first fruit of that and the flour and all these things. And on the condition of you doing that, I'll bless you. I'll continue to increase your seed. I'll continue to increase your cattle. I'll continue to give and bless, and you'll continue to increase in number and all these things that he gave them, and he promised it to them. If you do these things, it'll happen and it'll continue on for generations. But if a generation stops, Brother Lindsay, he said, if you choose not to do this thing, He said, I'll send the cankerworm to your fields. I'll send the weevil to your fields. I'll send the grasshopper to your crops. I'll make sure they're all destroyed. I'll make sure your cattle die giving birth. I mean, he goes right down the line. He says, this is easy. You keep me first and you do what I ask you to do, and your generations will be blessed. If you don't, then you'll find yourself struggling and constantly battling. Now, I'm not saying my life isn't, don't get me wrong, my life is far from perfect. My life's a wreck a lot of times, but I'm still blessed. Life is far from perfect. I'm just an ordinary person, but I'm blessed today. My life is not without trouble today. Don't get me wrong. I still have hard times. I still deal with stress just like you do. I still deal with disappointments just like you do. But I'm still blessed. I've been blessed with two wonderful children. That one of them is old enough to understand and know and love Jesus. I'm blessed with that today. Blessed with godly heritage, godly upbringing. I'm blessed today. I understand I can choose to walk away from that any time, but I look across this room today at faces of people who are just as blessed as I am with all of those things. Maybe it's just getting old, I don't know. Maybe that's what it is that causes you to step back and reflect and realize all the people that have had and made an effect on your life by their faithfulness. Why don't we stand together today? Jesus, I ask for your strength today. I ask that your grace be upon me today, Father. There's a great cloud of witnesses who have gone before me. Father, there are many who have invested time and resources into my life that have brought me to the place that I am today in my relationship with you. Jesus, I pray, give me the grace to continue that process, Father. Don't let it stop at my generation today, Father. But I pray, give me the grace. Lead me to opportunity to continue, Father, the faithfulness. That unwavering faith, that unwavering trust in you, in the principles of your word, Father. That when your word says it's yea and amen, that I stand on it and believe it. And teach my children, Father, just how true your word is, just how powerful your word is, just how true your promises are, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They flashed the scripture up there for a second. It was the wrong location, but it's very applicable to what we talked about today. Where Paul told Timothy, I can't quote it verbatim, but he said something about take these things that have been committed to you, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. When I think of the Heiners and the responsibility that weighs on their shoulders every day in the leading of our youth, you've heard Bishop talk about the time and the hours that he spent with Elder Heiner, Brother Lauren Heiner, Brother Nathan Heiner's dad, in ministry and prayer and fellowship. They walk in that stead. Sister Heiner's mother, the prayers that she prayed over her daughter, and all, we're recipients of the things that were poured into their lives and ministry. They're now in turn pouring them into, they're teaching them to our youth, to
to our children the principles of the Word of God, morals and values, instilling them into them. And then there's a responsibility on you, young people, to turn around, because you're all getting older. You're not going to stay 15 or 16 or 17. In the flash of an eye, in the snap of a finger, you're going to be 19 and off to college. And now you go into that nursery class every day and you have responsibility for my kid. And the same things that they've committed into your spirit over the last few years, you have a responsibility to commit that to Hadley. And to Ava and to Dana and to Jonathan and to all these young people downstairs. That's your responsibility. That's what Paul was talking to Timothy about. Would you talk to the Lord one more time? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I was spending some time with Brother Pablo Chan and Ben Bass last couple of days. We were on our way to church, and Paulo made this statement to me. He said, I was talking to an inmate the other day. He said, the inmate told me, he said, my mother had 9 sons. He said, they're all in prison. I turned to Paulo. I said, I've only heard that one other time in my life about a family that, you know, the woman, all of her children were in prison. It's a stark contrast to what I see across this place today. You ask yourself, how's that even possible? Choices, decisions, mindsets, things that transfer from generation to generation to generation. Is it even possible that that would turn around someday? Boy, I would sure hope so for somebody. But I just don't hold out a lot of hope for that generation's children. All their uncles are in prison. All of them. What a stark contrast here today, that we being recipients, for the most part, many of us here, from choices and direction that our grandparents and that our parents continued in under the blessing of their mom and dad's decisions and choices. This is just how important this is for every generation. I was visiting with Brother Johnstone's father as well the other day, and he had a little gathering of people for a baptism, and he said the guy who got baptized didn't want anybody else to come, didn't want a big public display. Can we do this privately on a Saturday or something? And anyway, they accommodated and made an arrangement, and he said there were 35 people there. They were all his family. And he began to tell me who they were, because I knew them for many years. And he said, I was talking to one of them, and they said to him, we've always been sorry that we left the United Pentecostal Church, but we just don't know how to get back. Now, what I understand about that statement is, well, she was saying was, is, we were always sorry when we left the way of holiness, when we left the way of separation, because it's not about the UPC. And so what she was saying was, I just don't know how to get back. I know their children and their children's children. And I watch their postings on Facebook, and I look back and I wonder, oh, those choices that they had made. Thinking it was just a disagreement, just a situation that really didn't matter that much. But now they've lived, I don't know why I'm telling you this, they've lived the rest of their lives in regret. Some of them could tell you stories about now where their children are and where they're not. But they made some choices. They made decisions. And now their children are living with them. Let me turn this back now. I'd like to open this altar. I'd like to give you opportunity to come and reflect for a moment and give some thankfulness and appreciation to God for your parents. Would you do that? For your parents. Things continue on your mind today.